Blessed be the name, the holy name, Father, this morning, as we gather, Lord, in this sanctuary, we know, Lord, your presence is being with us, for you have kept your promise all these many years with us, Lord, in this fellowship. Where two or three are gathered in the name of Jesus Christ, you are in the midst of us. We know, Lord, you have a lot of patience with us, Lord, and you have dealt with us all the years that we are yours, Lord. You have guided us and you have disciplined us, Lord, and even when we are down and out, you cushion us, Father. You stayed with us. And we thank you, Father, for all these years. And we are here today, Father, by your grace, that you compel us to come to worship you, Lord, to come sit under your feet, worshiping, fellowshipping with each one another and with thy Spirit, O Lord, and hearing thy word and knowing, Father, that we are your children being built up and strengthened and coming to the place of maturity, but we are seeing much trouble, O Lord, ahead of us in this world. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us the understanding of your holy word and the prophetic signs that we see on the horizon. And we thank you, Lord. We pray and commit this time, our Father, to you and to many others, O Lord, that are out there in the world where the fellowship too. And it's at this present time, we just commit the brethren out there in the Philippines who were affected, O Lord, by the typhoon that struck last week, Lord. And we know, Lord, you'll be with them and grant them health, Father, and strength, Lord. Get them on their feet, Lord, to rebuild their life again. All things, O Father, that happens to this world happens to just and unjust as well. We know, Lord. And we commit this time to you now as you approach thy word. We ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Is the mic on? Yeah. Now, I want today, when I came back and saw the news when I was in the Philippines. Of course, we didn't get much news. Don't have the time to look at it, but when I came back and saw the news regarding this super typhoon, it was terrible because I didn't expect that to be like a tsunami. The way that the wind was so strong, more than 300 kilometers an hour, you know, passed way off a 5-category chart. And the strong wind pushes the water, the wave into land, the bay that hit Tacloban. And that was terrible. It looks like, you know, like another Aceh incident, you see. So I decided to talk on this subject today, why the thing happened the way it happened. My message this morning is the same word Brother Abraham used in one of his sermons, birth pain. Let us go to the book of Romans chapter 8, 22. Romans chapter 8, verse 22. Several verses we're looking at the scripture, then we want to ask ourselves the question, did mankind bring about this disaster? And what does the Bible tells us, what is God trying to tell us? Romans chapter 8, verse 22 and 23. For we know that the whole creation groaned and travailed in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Now this was Paul's epistles to the Roman Christians. And explaining, of course, why there's so much problem on the earth. Even back in those days itself already, there's a lot of, you know, you can read in history how that even in the Roman Empire area, you have this volcano eruption and things like that, you know. They even have flooding as well, landslide as well, you know, and great storm and wave. Only that we don't see it as many, occurrence as we are seeing it today in our this generation. Since the 20th century until this 21st century, we see there's a whole lot of increase in activities in this earth structure. So why not hear Paul say, yes, the whole creation groaned and travailed in pain. And not only just the creation itself, not just the earth is groaning, not only that the animals, they are groaning, you know there are a lot of animals, they are suffering as well. But he has also said that we within ourselves, we also groan within ourselves. For what reason are we groaning? Now I don't know what you understand from this verse, what Paul is trying to say. But I'm groaning in that I wanted to have my body changed. That's what he said. We grow within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, and that is to the redemption of our body. This body is corruptible. It's corruptible. It's corrupt. It's dying and it's in pain. That's why when we are sometimes when we have a little when we suffer, when we are sick or what, you know, maybe it was, well. Should we get diagnosed by the doctor and say that we have such a bad disease coming? Maybe you have tuberculosis how did I get it? Or maybe you have leukemia or something like that, something fearful. Right now, this morning, Brother Christopher texted me a message. He said, Brother, please pray for me. Get a church to pray for me because. So whole last night he went into a lot of fever, a lot of high and low, you know, this temperature fluctuating, all this thing, you know. And he says, I'm still trusting the Lord, you know, everything is in his hand. You know, and I know he's suffering, he's groaning, he wanted to be released from this bondage, of this corruption that is in this body of ours. We suffer. We may go into a state of depression or frustration, a lot of pain we suffer. But we probably don't feel as much here as would be those in Africa. For example, those in Ivory Coast, those up there in Liberia, or Sudan, Somalia. You know, and you see some of this report, you just look at it, we can consider ourselves people here privileged. We have a good nation, we have food, we have nice dwelling place, we have clothing, we have practically everything that we need. You know. But we don't realize how people suffer in other countries. Even right now, Philippines, all those people out there in Leyte, Samar, Cebu, being wiped out, their home being wiped out, everything's gone. Those people are dying already. And you read in the paper today, one man who his leg was broken because a coconut tree, you know, he hiding in the water, coconut tree stepped over, hit him, his leg was broken, and he was featured. A few days ago, I saw in the paper, he was waiting to be taken to a hospital, but he died. You know, he has this leg broken, and is infected, and he's suffering, because he could not be evacuated to a hospital. And thereby, as time passed, one after another, he's dying. And he died. So we are living in a world today that is overpopulated. Scarcity of food. They have and they have not. The extreme, in capitalism you have those up there in the higher place, they have everything. Those in the lower place, they have nothing. I watched him happen to be, television was on, but it's always a documentary, and it was about why people are happy. Why are certain people not in depression? What kind of people, what group of people are never in depression? Hardly ever in depression. And they were showing the Maasai people over in Africa. They were happy. These studies went into do a survey and research. Why are these people always happy and never, hardly see them in depression? They have practically not much thing. And you know, in Africa, they live in a thatched roof, kind of house, mud house, the Maasai. And the Maasai, you know, they hunt. And when they hunt, they come back to the village and they will share. If they kill a deer, they will share among the family. You know, anyone that kills any animal for food, they come back, they will share everything equally. And you know, the interview, and they were all smiling, happy, you know, they never in depression. So the surveyor began to study why, how come that people outside of this such kind of environment, they get depression. And it seems to be that, well, when it traces back to Babylon, in Babylon, that is when empire started and the powerful people make themselves king of world, and then they conquer and become the king. And so, when they control the people, well, because he's king, he got more shares. So the people that are higher up got more, and the people that are at the bottom got less. And so what do you think over time? The people at the bottom got less, they're not happy. Obviously. They are servants to the up. And so that is when you get depression. And he said that people who, like us, once a week get depression. Why? Because if we are serving somebody and we don't get a fair wage, we get frustrated. Isn't it? And now we are being told to do this, to do that. And that's how the world is. So the whole world is imbalance socially. You know? So when we look at this Bible here, we are groaning, and I believe you should be groaning. Many times I sit in the room and say, "Oh Lord, when are you going to come? How long will it be before you come?" You know, I want to get out of this body. This is a wretched body. You know, we get older, you have pain here, you got pain there. Sure, you get older, you feel it. You know, you get gout, you get arthritis, maybe, I don't know. You know. So that's the situation. So what Paul was saying on it, the earth is tremendous, it's like a woman who is pregnant. Tremendous in pain to burst forth. A child. Is that right? That's what we're seeing. The book of Genesis chapter 1. We go to the book of Genesis, we all know what the book of Genesis chapter 1 said. Chapter 1, chapter 2. The Bible said in the book of Genesis, every time when God create something. On the first day, he said, it is good. After the second day, he creates another thing, it is good. Is that right? So everything that God created is good. It was good. So if the earth was good, why have the earth become bad? Good question. Isaiah 45:18. What did the word of Isaiah say in chapter 45:18? For thus said the Lord that created the heavens. God himself formed the earth and made it. He have established it. He created not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. But now the earth itself has become practically in many places uninhabitable. Am I not right? Some place you can't. Look at Fukushima. What happened to that land? Back in the days, I don't know how many years ago, Chernobyl, you know, the nuclear leaks and everything. Only sometimes we don't see how bad it is. People suffered. The earth now is in a bad shape. We know that in the book of Genesis, when we read chapter after chapter, when we came to the place where in chapter 6 it tells us that when the sons of God married the daughters of men, when they intermarried, they produced wicked men, giants, men of renown. And you know, high breeding is a very strange thing actually. I went to Japan, we were surprised by the thing that they, even the documentary we see on NHK, they did a lot of research into food and crossbreeding of grapes. There are more species of grape today in Japan than any other countries. You know, even the persimmons, And you just wonder, when looking back in the days of Genesis, when the sons of God intermarried with the Canaanites, in high breeding of what we call intermarriage, it always produces a beautiful child. Generally, most of the time, right? You know, and a child will be intelligent. Of course, remember, you have lived this. Keep on going out. You know, I have seen that in Africa when a Chinese man married an African wife, a Ghanaian. And a child was born, the son was there, was serving in the restaurant. He looks kind of very, kind of odd looking, but kind of a nice looking anyway. Neither African, neither Chinese. You know? And that's how they look beautiful. But also genetically they can produce very intelligent, very intellectual person. But of course the gene is such a way that the higher that you breed intelligent, become the place where he goes back down to the bottom on the bottom rank of the ladder and up he goes again. So you go an intelligent, super intelligent person, get married, you get a child that is born a moron. This has been a proven fact. You know. So what we see, what was happening in Genesis chapter 6? Men became so wicked. But the Bible said they were wicked men, they were men of renown. But in what sense what kind of wickedness was it that the Bible was telling us? The Bible didn't give you any detail. They must be very destructive. Do you understand what I mean? I'm saying they must be very destructive. To why God have to call the whole civilization of mankind to stop? You see, the earth was to be inhabited and to be. People are supposed to be peaceful and walk along. But when men control men of intellect control others, they subjugate the weaker people. And they did all kinds of things. They have invention in those days. I don't know what kind of invention they have that might, sort of damage the earth. I don't know. They probably have a lot of killing, a lot of fighting. So wicked that God had to stop it. And you know, we all read about it. God did stop it with the flood. But after the flood, God said, I'm not going to destroy it anymore with flood. But I'm going to destroy it with fire. So it has been how many years now? Wow. Almost 5,000 years now. And if soon will come, God is going to destroy it. Go back to Romans chapter 8. Let us read verse 18 onwards. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now this is Paul writing to Roman Christian. It is for you, for me. What we see in the world today, the travailing, the pain that is going on. I know that the Filipino people right now, those out there who are suffering. But those who are believers, those who are Christian, those who are elect, they can look forward to the promise. Oh yeah, they might sit there and cry and say, Lord, why do you let this thing happen? My daughter is dead. My little baby died. My wife is gone and my husband's gone. Why do you allow this disaster to be? Oh yeah. Whenever anything happens to us, we get upset. We get frustrated. And you get into a collision with God. I do have many times said that I went to a room and I had a little fight with God, you know. But I come to a place and realize that all things work together for good to them to love the Lord. Even it maybe seems bad. But God, but the Bible does tell us one thing, and we need to understand that the rain falls upon the just and the unjust. Is that right? Don't expect good things from God and don't say, oh, we don't get bad things. Really? We're the whole world with a Christian. Isn't it? But this is a natural phenomenon. God, when God allowed a storm to sweep through the Philippines, He didn't tell the star, don't touch my leg. No? So that is true. You know. So if I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. Think about the glory that is coming, which will be revealed in us. Okay, what we're going through now is just one of those pain, yeah. Abraham went through that. Moses went through that. Daniel went through that. Right? Prophet Zechariah went through that. And we are just looking at the footprint on the set of time. The footprint of the apostles and the prophet who walked before us. Huh? We just follow footsteps. If they've gone through a high, thick and thin, mountain and valley, can whatever. So we follow. The Bible is a map for us to look at it and to follow. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. That's what we are looking for. For the earnest expectation of the creature, the whole earth is travailing. The creation is travailing. The animals are travailing. The fruits, trees are travailing. You know what is being said when there are two elephant fights? The earth, the grass gets up. You know the saying, right? Isn't it? What did an elephant fight? Well, they have problems too, you know. They're fighting for food, whatever. Yeah, when they make love, the grass also get hurt. Isn't it? But the fact is this. When we look at the verse here, everything the world now is tribulating. The earth is tribulating. We are tribulating. But we are waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. The manifestation will come when Jesus returns and set up his kingdom on this earth. And when 1,000 years. Then you and I, we will be manifested and sit with him to be manifested as the sons of God. Then the earth will be filled with righteousness. There will be peace, knowledge. War will be no more. All the weapons, your rifles, your cannons, all will be turned to pruning hooks. That's what we are looking at now. But you heard the way it is today. Continues. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly. God again, when you see here, Paul knows Revelation. He saw the mystery of God. The creature, you, we were made to subject to vanity, not willingly, not forced by God. But God knew man would fall. And he allows it. It was a reason for that, for him that by reason of him who have subject the same to allow this vanity. Why? In the hope that we get something. Because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of the corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Now if you don't go through pain, we don't know what is wellness. Now if you always have been well, you don't fall sick. Ever in your life, you don't know what is disease or falling sick. You won't know. You say, this person has fever. He's sick. You know, he has flu. You don't know what happened. If he had never had flu, you don't know what it's like. You see. So God allowed the fall and let men go through what they will have to go through. And now that God is going to bring forth a people out of corruption into the glory and liberty of the children of God. And all those creatures will then come to that place where there will be no death. Matthew 24. Let us look to Matthew 24 today as well. Matthew chapter 24. We read from verse 1. This is the chapter that most of us understood or have, well, we are very well acquainted with it. Here Jesus went out and departed from the temple. His disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. As usual, men are always attached. Religious people are always attached to some special place. The shrine, the building, the temple, the church building. Mecca or Jerusalem or Delhi. I don't know where that is supposed to be for a Hindu anyway. Isn't it? Okay, it says here that this is supposed to show Jesus how beautiful the temple really was. And Jesus said unto them, "See you not all these things? Surely, verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." As he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be now?" They were in Jerusalem in the temple, and the disciples talking about the temple. Jesus said, "Well, it will not be one of these days. Temple come down, there will not be one stone stacking upon another." Why? Because the temple was made of gold, practically overlaid with gold, not made of gold, but overlaid with gold because of King Herod. He's just a real nuts over architecture, you know. He likes all these buildings, so he helped the Jew build up and putting all this gold on the outside too. So they went over across, you know, the valley from Jerusalem, down the valley up into Mount Olives, and sat there overlooking the city of Jerusalem. And the disciples said, "Tell us, when shall this thing be? And what should be the sign of your coming, of the end of the world?" And Jesus answered, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I'm Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for this thing must come to pass, but the end is not yet." We already know that there are a lot of false prophets today. And wars and rumors of wars are always on the increase. "For nations shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famine and pestilences and earthquake in diverse places." This is the verse, you look at it carefully. "There shall be famine and pestilences and earthquake in diverse places." What causes famine? What causes pestilences? And what causes earthquake? We'll discuss it a little bit later. "All these are the beginning of sorrow. Then shall you deliver up to be afflicted, shall kill you, and you shall be hated in all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and they shall betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world for the witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come." Then we right now jump over to verse 21. "For there shall be great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be. And except those that be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." Now he's talking about tribulation. Now there have been different kinds of tribulation in the past, but the tribulation that is going to come will be very great. Already in the past, there are so many different tribulations that came upon the saints of God during the Dark Ages, right? Or even in India, you have the Hindu fighting against Christian in a village to destroy. Okay, or the Muslim against the Christian out there in Nigeria in the north. Nigeria is a nation. Northern part are generally Muslim. Southern part are generally Christian. So at the borderline case, or any Christian that are in the north, in the village or in the city, the Muslim many times just burn the churches, and they even kill them. You know. So this is a little tribulation for them, not for the whole world in general. But what happens if there is nothing stopped, nothing, you know, stop this tribulation, this persecution? What will happen? You remember when we have curfew, back I think before you were born, many of you, back in, I think it was in the 60s when we had the confrontation between Malaysia and Singapore over the Jewish girl, Herzog's case, and there was all this problem in the north that came down, you know, the Malay and the attacking the other races, and came across the causeway to Singapore, and there were curfews imposed. So if no authority steps into control, what do you think will happen? And in Singapore here, the government tried to create a nation of religious harmony. It's important to help them. Because we know that wars are always fought on religious ground. Your ideology or my ideology. Is that right? So, when we look at this, we realize that if the world that we live in at this time, with all this, you know, birth pain, this tribality, how would God put a stop to this? It will continue and continue. And you know, since the last 3 months, Philippines have been hit by typhoon after typhoon, rain after rain, you know, storm after storm. They brought about flooding. When I came back from Japan, 2 days later, snow started falling. Fruit plantation, apple plantation were destroyed because of the sudden snow that came. Oh yeah. Now we have a phenomenon very long ago, a couple of months ago I think, we had hailstone. Huh? Isn't it? You never know one of these days the hailstone could be big as a ping pong ball. You don't know, because the whole world is turning upside down. What causes it? Not just about, you know, the question about the coming of Christ. The sign of the coming of Christ. Not just about wars and rumors of wars, not just about, you know, a false prophets and false Christ that will come. But it's most of all we get earthquake, famine, and pestilences. That's what we see here. Now, let's go on. When we look at the world today, we ask ourselves a question. Why are there so many earthquakes? How come there, in a country that's under famine, how come there's so many diseases? What, chicken flu? I mean, bird flu. Bird flu. Yeah, we have this. Oh, well, you know, we have this new, what do you call it, a sickness that's born by mosquito, chikungunya. We don't get this before. What we have dengue. Okay, then we have malaria. We got chikungunya. Why? Because international flight. The Indian who came over here from India, that's why you find chikungunya. And they brought, if the person is being bitten by it, he already carried with him the parasite or whatever causes it anyway. I don't know. I know that malaria is caused by a parasite. They came over here and then the mosquito bite them, they get this from the blood and the transfer. See? Yes, we got all kinds of things. You don't know what new diseases will come next. Right. So now the world is, the question I'm asking is, what is the world in this situation? We know for certain, global warming. Now, scientists have always been disputing. Oh, no, this is just natural phenomena. Natural phenomena? Compare what happened this. Well, this is only 2013. 13 years into the 21st century. Compare these 13 years to last century and see how great an increase in famine, pestilences, and earthquake. Isn't it? Just think about it. What was this tsunami in Aceh? What year was that? 2004, is it? Was it 2004? With each passing year, we're going to see more or greater increase in all this phenomena. Earthquake, famine, great, more typhoon, more hurricanes, more flooding, droughts, global warming. And you know that it is far out that the earth has already increased by 1 degree Celsius. 1 degree Celsius. It's up 1 degree Celsius. Do you know how much is 1 degree Celsius? It's so hot in the sea. Because if 1 degree Celsius increase, what happened? Out there in Antarctica, Greenland, snows are melting. Go and look into the report. Gracious. Not being gracious, some of you, I believe, weren't in gracious. He retreated. His mouth. And from the mountain, the water, where did the water go? It goes to the sea. And the level of the sea has increased. When the level of water in the sea increased, what do you think is going to happen? With the temperature that is up by 1 degree Celsius. That's the water you, because of that, there is an increase of low pressure, high pressure. They're going to react. Water is going to get so hot, it's going to drop down into the air. And with the wind that is blowing up there, it's going to, well, come on, stirring and cause it to turn. And many scientists disagree. Say, no, it's not global warming, it's very common. And yet, a man, a scientist, was so fed up that he had, well, you can see it in the National Geographic documentary. He spent, I think, 3 years. His first year, he failed. He wanted to prove that global warming has caused the glacier to shrink, to shrink back, you know, retreat. He spent one whole year up there with a camera, that he misspent a camera in different places, said, I don't know how many hundreds of cameras, time-lapse photography. But the circuit froze. So they have to redo again, and finally they improve it. They took so many thousands and thousands of time-lapse photography. And then they build it up into a movie. You know, your time-lapse? And he called for, when after he examined it, he couldn't believe it. He called for a press conference, invited all those big guys, scientists, and oil company to come and view it. And he gave a talk. And after that was over, one man who works for Shell company, oil company, Shell, he's a big guy up there. He was interviewed, he says, I'm going to resign from my oil company. All this oil out there, you know, this Exxon and Shell and BP and many of them are so guilty. Pollution out there in the sea. America is a big culprit. They are the great cause of pollution of the earth. Today is China. India. Isn't it so? What do you think happened to this atmosphere? When you stop burning, deforestation brought forth what? Landslides. No trees, the place can be burned, it can be drowned. That's just why little island Singapore. We have a lot of trees to keep it cool. If you go to India or Delhi or Mumbai, there's hardly any tree in the city. It's so hot and humid and stifling. You build a city, you got no trees. You cut down a tree, you burn it. What happened to the whole earth? Where is the green lungs? Is man involved in this disaster? Yes, man is involved. And the earth, brothers and sisters, we already read it, that the earth was created to be inhabited. Is it right? And the Bible said to us as Christians, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. If you destroy it, God says, I will destroy it. Do you remember that? Huh? First Corinthians 3:16 and 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. 1 Corinthians. Know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defile the temple of God, shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Now the earth is created for habitation. You know what temple is? It's a house, isn't it? Is that right? Temple means a dwelling place. Your body is temple of the Holy Spirit. The earth is a dwelling place. God created to be inhabited. God said, if you destroy it, I will destroy it. That's why the earth is going to be renewed. Men are destroying it. God destroyed it once by water, and He will destroy it again. Bring about something to carry up all the pollutants. You know what pollutants are? Pollutants are not little pollutants in the air. Pollutants are human. You know what they are? Pollutants. To me, they are pollutants. You know what I'm talking about? So much of this thing going on. Now, the global warming, you know, sea water rises, and we also know that there is, because of this, increased. And I was, when I was writing, when I was going to meditating for this sermon, and I was saying to myself, I won't be surprised that the earth axis is in balance. Because there is this melting of snow. Do you know that this, well, you know, after the Noah's flood. Now, before there was the flood, the earth was perpendicular. Remember I told you? This perpendicular is spinning perpendicularly on its axis. There was no four season, huh? Never was there any four season. Okay? The earth was shrouded with a shrouding of a water vapor, as a, acting as a greenhouse effect. Everywhere on this earth has an even temperature. You get it? So when the flood came, these fountains of the heaven was broken out and poured out upon the earth. So now the earth is filled with water. The whole was flooded. After 40 days, 40 nights, there was no more water from the top. Everything is finished. Then it takes more than a year for the water to go out. Huh? So as the water go out, God did not take all the water out. So that's why on the surface of this earth, how many percentage of the of this earth is covered in water? 71%. Is that right? 71% or around about that is covered with water. And because of that, you look at the atlas, look at your globe, look at your, your globe. Don't look at map, look at the globe. And you will find that below the equator, you have a whole lot more water than the top half. Right? And because of that, the earth is tilted in this axis. And that's what gives us the full season. Now, when I was thinking, if the water in the north, in the Arctic, is melting, the glaciers are melting, water is going to increase, where would the water go? Much water will be at the bottom of the, we've got a southern hemisphere. And I said to myself, I said, that means to say the axis must be tilted more. And I went to the internet and did the search. And true enough, the scientist says that the earth actually axis is slightly more tilted than it was. And because of that, there's wobble, even. When you wobble, not only that you're going to slow down on the earth, but you're going to cause shaking of the earth. You know, you get something, you shake it. Huh? Wobble. You know what I'm saying? There's imbalance. So the whole of this earth is imbalance. So when you have earth shake, what is going to happen? Earthquake. More water on. Now, there's a lot of water. The earth is not balancing. The water is trying to find its place. So there is a lot of pressure building up in the ocean. So there's an evil. You know, it takes. Go to the book of Genesis. Go to the book of Genesis and we look at. Just recalling. Let me see. In chapter 10. Alright. Chapter 10. And in verse 25. And unto evil were born two sons. The name of one was Pilate, but his day was the earth divided. The earth was divided in the days of Pilate. So, when the water in the days of Noah, till Pilate came, it's about, I think, 150 years or something, I can't remember exactly now, that the earth, the boundary, the dividing of the earth, as you say, you get the continents of Asia, America, North America, South America, Australia, everything became what we have today. Everything became stabilized. You understand? It took more than 100 to 200 years for the earth to be stabilized. The water drawn up and then the earth is destroyed. Do you understand what I'm saying? But no. If man starts polluting the earth, the world gets warmer, water is going to, ice is going to melt, glaciers is going to melt, water is going to come down, there's a change of pressure. So the earth is going to shake, it's going to quake. Whenever you put pressure on one place to another, there's always going to be a change. You know. That's what we have the earth today after the flood. So we have all this ocean. Originally there was no ocean, no Indian Ocean, no Pacific Ocean, no Atlantic Ocean. The water had to find its place, and the pressure of water pushed land, form, push to one side, from China, from India, from America, and so on, until the whole earth is stabilized. You see. But now with a lot of water changing its place, we're going to have more problems. With water in the ocean like this, with cyclone, with this typhoon, with hurricanes, it's going to create flooding and imbalance of the other parts of the world, create droughts and famines. Yes, sir. All right. We already said that many of these ungodly men today, you know, we went to Japan. One place we visited was Hiroshima. And it taught me a lesson to look at why Japan became the way she is today. Japan was the aggressor during the Second World War in the South, in Asia. And if there was no atomic bomb, of course, if there was no atomic bomb, I think the world here today would be different. We don't know what we'll be under. So some say, it is good that atomic bomb was used. And others say, it is terrible, inhumane. But what happened if there was no atomic bomb? The war will continue. I don't know what we will be today. Well, the bomb was put down in Hiroshima, then Nagasaki. And America is going to bring forth another big fat, they call it fat boy. I think what they have in Nagasaki was, they call it little boy. And then the one in Hiroshima was called a fat boy. It's a bigger one. Huh? Fat man. So you know, all total of people that died is almost a quarter of a million people. The bomb detonated not on the ground, but above, I don't know how many kilometers, 600 meters above the ground, so that it could burn the whole thing. And just remember, you are right in there when you are, just under it, you vaporized. And those, I don't know how many kilometers it spread, and those who are out there on the outskirts, they get burned, they get scourged, and many of them die of leukemia and all kinds of phenomena. And you know what? There were all these military mighty men that refused to tell Hirohito to surrender. They treat him as a god and emperor and all these things. I watched that documentary movie and I had a big laugh. Because MacArthur couldn't care less. Because they all said, no, all this protocol, bow, you cannot look at the emperor in the eyes. You cannot touch him. He said, okay. He went out there and said, how are you? Put out his hand and the palace guard, you know, go forward. The emperor put his hand up, hold him back. Makata put out his hand, you shake my hand, and Makata looked at the emperor in the eye. You're not supposed to look at the emperor in the eye, some kind of god. When you go to heaven, you better look God in the eye. Because he's going to look at you. If you don't go look at God in the eye, you're looking at me, you're still not repentant. Huh? You're not repentant. When you talk to your father, look at your father in the eye. You got that right? You look? Right. Is that right? Look at mother and your father in the eye when you talk to them. You know, the father just put his hand out and the emperor should be safe. Peace to your son. There were those that refused to end the war. And America was waiting. If they refused, they were going to mount for a third bomb. You know what would happen? But what changes Japan the way it is because of that. Because of the death. Hirohito realized those who had seen the war, those some of those great men in the army who saw all these things, they rebuilt Japan into a different nation. It's become the most peaceful nation. No more war. What do they have now? They built a defense army. Now everything that they do is clean. In the land, they turn out to have pollution, but they're still one of the biggest culprits in pollution. And what is that? You go to Japan, you know what the Japanese do when they go and look at food? They must eat with their eyes first. You know what I mean, mother? You know how? They must eat with their eyes first. If the thing is not pleasing, you know what? I bought a little packet of something, they wrap it up with paper, and then, my goodness me, they put extra plastic bag into your plastic bag. I didn't know that. They said, what is all this plastic bag? Just imagine, a little thing they want to wrap it up so nice as a gift. Paper where the trees are cut down. Right? Plastics. Petroleum. If only they stop that. Then all these things about this beauty and all that thing, you know, that's just too much. You know, you can walk the streets of Japan and you don't see trash can. I went to this park, and there were toilets scattered here in the park. Where the park, I have something in my hand, you know, we eat. Where are the toilet, I have a trash can. I don't see any trash can. Yeah, but there are some people, they left their trash around there anyway. And I realized one thing, in some places, please take the trash home. They'll tell you that. You know. So they have become a changed nation. America today, look at America, aggressor. They're very aggressive. And that's speaking the truth. Politically, militarily, and even religiously. They're aggressive now. Don't they ever learn? They went to war with Iraq. Was Iraq at fault? No. They went to Afghanistan, it's okay. The luck, what happened? Drug lords took over. The opium. So that's still. Well, would men ever lay down their arms? I don't think so. But the atomic bomb did the trick for Japan. That's why now Japanese people are peaceful. What a change. Alright, so if man defile the earth, God will destroy it. Let us go to 2 Peter 3:5. 2 Peter 3:5. For these they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, the earth setting out the water, and in the water, verse 6, whereby the water that was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Well, God destroyed once water already because of the wickedness of men, but now men go the way they are going, He's going to destroy with fire. And you know one thing about atomic bomb? Oh yeah. It's the word. You know, nuclear bomb, hydrogen bomb, they are made from uranium. And when the Bible talks about fire from heaven, all this, it has this word about uranium. Yeah. Isn't it cohesion? Japan was destroyed by fire. You know, it's actually fire, you know. It ignites. It's fire. You call it a bomb, of course. But it's fire, the heat. People were burned. That's why you get these clouds smoked up there. So God is going to destroy Israel with the fire. He's going to destroy Israel. You know how God, I don't know what kind of fire God was saying, well, He took it from the sun and threw it over the earth. I don't know. Huh? Now let's go to the book of Job and examine what Job 38 says. Well, go and look at it. Alright, because God has decreed man. to dress the earth. But instead of dressing the earth, remember God put Adam in the garden and said, dress it. Take care of the land. But man is destroying it today. You know one thing about the Word of God. God's Word said, don't add to it, don't subtract from it. Is that right? So if you add to it, or you take away from it, you're destroying the Word. So let us see what Job said. Job chapter 38. We're going to look at some of the verses, not all of it, but we're going to look at it as we go. Verse 4. God asked Job, he has a good question. You know, Job being ignorant, why were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Now, let me say this. The word foundations is in plural in the King James Version. It will be singular in the RV version or the literal translation version. But the word here, it's not about one foundation or foundations. It says actually, why were you Job when I founded the earth? When I founded the earth. When I have set a foundation for the earth. Now when we look at the earth is round, right? How do you put a foundation in the earth when it's round? Interesting, isn't it? Huh? Further down we read about the cornerstone. Anyway, let's look at a building, a square building that we have. A oblong building. We have a cornerstone, we have a foundation stone set right there. From there on you lay all the other cornerstones, right? They are the base stones for the flat on the floor. Okay? But we know that Jesus Christ, being the cornerstone, has become the head of the corner. Is that right? So he has shifted from there to the apex in the pyramid. You're getting it? So, how many foundations is that? There's only one chief foundation, which is the apex. So the apex, you've inverted down. A pyramid, sun down. This is the base. It's just like holding a bouquet of flowers. You spread it out. Right? So what you hold there is your foundation. So that you're going to know, what is the foundation of the earth? Of course, the foundation of the earth must be right in the center of the earth. That's where God started building the earth on. So the core of the earth is inside there. And there's only one core, one foundation. And it is hot. It is fire. Right? And who is, the Bible said the Word of God is a consuming fire. So we are using it as figurative right now to look at it. What were you doing when I founded the earth, when I stopped building the earth, when I laid it and I bring it up? What were you doing? That's a good question. Who have laid the measure thereof, if thou knowest? Or who have stretched thy hand upon it? So right now, you understand. The earth has a measurement. It has weight. It has measurement. You agree with that? And they are precise. Everything about God is precise because they are numbers. One means one, two means two. One is not equal to two. Only you can use an algebra, A equal to B. That's about it. If A equals to B, if A is 1, B must be 1. Or else you're stupid. Obviously. Numbers cannot change. Measurement is precise in God. Isn't it true? Huh? So when God said, who have laid the measure thereof? Verse 6, whereupon are the foundation thereof fastened? Or who have laid the cornerstone thereof? The word foundations here is different from the word foundation in verse 4. Here it means the strength. The base, the strength. So the earth is anchored. Somehow, I don't know how God anchored it. Huh? You take a pyramid. You have the base, 4 square. The foundation is up there. The chief cornerstone is up there. The apex. Turn it around. Christ, hold the whole church together. The same thing with the earth. Inside is the foundation. Something must have hold them. Pull them close together. Why is not the earth breaking apart? Why is it forced down? You tell me about gravity. What causes gravity is mass and all this. Those of you study physics, you understand, huh? Yeah, I don't know anything about physics. But I know what mass is. I mean, that mass has a force. Attraction. And this and that. Blah, blah, blah. Okay. So now we understand that all that God built is precise. He holds everything together. Verse 8, who have shut up the sea with doors, and when he break forth, as you had issued out of the womb. Who have shut up the sea with doors? Now the sea, where the ocean flows. Now you, if very few people ever discover what's inside there. Scientists have put down submarine and everything to look at the ocean floor and all these things. And you know, inside the ocean floor, you ever see bubble? You ever see bubble? You ever see bubble? What is a bubble? Because right in the foundation, that's what this core is. Right? Karagana. So it's bubbling. So sometimes it will break up and then the bubble. So there is a, God has put some doors here and there for where this bubble should go. Or where the gas should go. What is the gas? Alright? Now we know that when you come to a surface in some area, what you get is geyser. Right? Karanya, you get this geyser. At some place of God where it leaks, you go into a volcano. No, you said, why did God create volcano? Because you said, oh, volcano is destructive when it strikes and all these things. Do you know one thing that God created volcano? It wasn't supposed to be like that. Volcano and geyser are air vents. Are vents for the earth to breathe. You know when your tummy is filled with heat, you growl. Well, you must go somewhere, right? You must have vent, two ends. The top end and the lower end. You must, somewhere you must go. You understand what I mean? Right? You must have some place to go. Even your body on the surface, what do you have? Your skin has what? It has little holes, pores. Correct? For it to breathe, so must be the earth. So there are doors. But the problem today we have is that geysers sometimes are quite destructive also, as well as volcano, was because why? The earth was being polluted by man. Go back, when the earth is settled, this thing doesn't happen. When men start to pollute it, imbalance it, it's going to happen. You cut down trees, you start to burn. You know you're destroying the earth. So the earth is going to react. Another thing. I asked this question many times when I was in Africa. The world is overpopulated, right? Every year the population increase. From the day of Adam, only 2%. But now, how many billions now? 7 billion. Is the world, the earth heavier? Is the earth heavier? Yes or no? Huh? After all, we have 7 billion people compared to Adam's day. The earth must be heavier. Is it? Is it? No! Why not? People are falling off the earth. Huh? No, the earth cannot get any heavier. Because we are what we are. We eat from the dust, we go back to dust. It's just a cycle. Huh? It doesn't get any heavier. Not at all. But, when NASA, Russia, I don't want you, China today, India today, they start sending out rockets under space. All the metals and all the things that are from the earth has been subtracted from the earth. You agree with that? So, oh, that's a small little thing. Small little thing. Small little thing. Subtract a little bit out of God's word. It's a little thing. You think it's little? It isn't. You know how many debris are up there in space? Huh? You might say it's just very minuscule, just very minor. So little compared to the amount of metal there on this earth. It's all lost in space. What happened to this earth? It starts subtracting. What I'm telling you is, tell the scientists to cut off the whole mountain of Mount Fuji and throw it up to space and see what happened to the earth. Huh? You start cutting off the earth and throw it up to space. The earth is going to get lighter, and what do you think is going to happen? You might not think much about it. A little bit, your calculation, how important calculation is, right? A little point out of it means a lot. You add to the word of God, You see what happened? You subtract away from the word of God, you see what happened. Life is gone. Remember what the Bible said? You add to it, you break to it, you take away, or take away from your name from your book of life. You're adding and you subtract, you're going to take away life. Man has destroyed his whole earth, brother. Let us go on and see how. When I make the cloud the firmament thereof, and thick darkness a swarming hand, and break up for it my decreed place, and set bars and doors. Every place on this earth, there is a limit, there is a say, okay, put a bar here, you cannot cross over. A door here, lock it, you cannot cross over. God has designed the earth so beautifully. Huh? The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the Bible said. It is meant to be inhabited. But when you start clearing all this, this is going to knock off the door. Hitherto, and he said, I set a bar, I set a door, I put a decree, you cannot go so far, and said, thou shalt come but no further, and here shall thy proud wave be stayed. The wave, and you see, they come to a certain place to stop. Huh? But no, the wave goes all the way inland. What causes it? God has decreed you cannot go so far. When men are destroying it, it goes beyond that. It should have. And let's go right down to verse 25. Who have divided the water course for the overflowing water? Or where for the lightning of thunder and cause it to rain on the earth where no man is, or on the wilderness where there is no man? Yes, now, even though the earth before it was filled with people, where the land there was no people, there would still be rain. Right? You can say, well, there's no people there, why God sent rain there? Huh? But today, there are people in that land, but there's no rain. Do you know that? Sudan, Somalia, so terrifying. People are just dying because there's no food. You know. But look at this recent super typhoon. They wiped out. Let this Somalia, Cebu. Some of the farmers, they lost everything. Yeah. Yes. And you know the hurricane, Twister. What do you call that Twister? They call it in America hurricane, right? They call it hurricane. You know, sometimes they pass through the farm. They wipe up the wheat and everything, huh? The corn. This is loose. Tornado. Tornado. They all become a different name. So tornado, hurricane, cyclone, typhoon. So just imagine this is very destructive. And we're going to see more. I don't know, by the end of this year, December comes, I don't know how many more typhoon will hit Philippines. I don't know. And after that it's turned around, it's going to happen in the Caribbean. It's going to happen in America. Anybody who live between the degree of 10 to 20 in the northern hemisphere, the latitude, I don't want to suffer a lot. Alright. Go again, let's go on to verse 27. To satisfy the desolate wasteland, and to cause the bud of the tender herb to spring forth. Have the rain of father, or who have begotten the drops of dew? Out of whose womb came the ice, and the hoary frost of heaven, who have generated? The water heat as with a stone, and the face of the deep is frozen. Verse 33, thou knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? Can thou set the dominion thereof in the earth? Can thou lift up thy voice to the cloud, that abundance of water may cover thee? Can thou send lightning that they may go and say unto thee, here we are? Who have put wisdom in the inward parts? Who have given understanding to the heart? That's the question God is asking you. Do you understand all these things? Who is controlling all this? Who have put all this decree out there? You know. And suddenly couldn't care less. They come in to burn. They don't understand God has speaks and doors and bars. Put a decree out there. You don't go so far. But man will still break. Let's go on. Who number the crowds in heaven? Or who can stand the portals of heaven when the dust grow into hardness and the cloth cleft fast together? And that's what happened. When there's no rain, all the dust will cough together again. Nothing but patches of dry land. Droughts. Romans 8:18-25. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be rewarded in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who had subject the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves grow within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But hope is that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why do he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Blessed hope. We are looking for that blessed hope. We didn't see it with our eyes. Right? We didn't see it with our eyes. But we see by spiritual eye what is coming. And we are looking for that. Lastly, Isaiah 65:17. For behold, I create a new heaven and new earth. And the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. Isaiah 65:17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. The former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. Isaiah 66:22. For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, said the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. With the new heaven and new earth that God made, it will no longer be destroyed. Do you understand? It will always be with us. 2 Peter 3:13. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for the new heaven and new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. So as much as we see what is growing now in this earth, it will continue. And we pray that God will give the strength to his people everywhere that are in such an area where they have to live. You know, people like in Tacloban, in Somaliland, in Subu, they cannot just simply want to go anywhere they want to go and live, because their livelihood is there. If there are city folk there, they want to work in the city, that's different. But to find a job, there's another question. But if they are farmer, where else can they go? That is the, you know. So we do not know what else will come. Over in other countries, like India, Bangladesh. You know, one thing I really realize is that every country that they are in the wrong, well, faith, we would say. Country that are under Roman Catholicism rule, we know that is the highest form of spiritism. Look at Japan itself. Though they are a peaceful country after the war, they are in the religion of Shintoism, which is spiritism. Out of 130 million people, less than 1%, about 1.2 million. I mean, that's all I know. It's considered, according to the survey, the 1.2 million are Christian. Everywhere you see is the pagan shrine, spiritism, and they are in the belt of earthquake. So is the Philippines. Look at Bangladesh. They suffer always a lot of flooding. What what kind of background do they have in the faith? And many other countries, you look, it just seems to be the same. Look at the South America's Caribbean region. Is it a coincidence that these religious people are in such a zone where there are all these typhoons and cyclones and earthquake? Maybe not, I don't know. You know. And one of these days, we don't know what will happen in Singapore. According to a report, scientific report. See my figure here? Scientific report. They don't know how many years from now, if the global warming continues, Singapore will be underwater. I won't be surprised. Let just increase the temperature. Singapore will be underwater. And of course, before that day comes, we will not be around. We are looking forward to the coming of the Lord. Hopefully He will come within the next few years. We are looking for His coming. We are looking for a blessed hope. But while the earth prevails, and we are travailing and groaning to be delivered, we are looking for the blessed hope. Amen? Heavenly Father, we thank You for grace. Again, we thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for Thy precious word, Father. Commit, O Lord, all things to You. In the name of Jesus Christ, Father, we also lift up the saints in the Philippines that are suffering through this present time. And we ask the Lord, and by all Your grace, O Lord, and Your love, that it will reach out to them, Father, to rebuild their life. So we ask for Your grace today in Jesus' name. Amen.